USA Chat, May 18th, 2021. Sat joins the meeting and Farnaz thanks her for her presence. Sat missed the chat the week before, but she assigned the story of the child for discussion for the group. Farnaz thanks her for that and says that a few people have questions about that. With Sat's permission, the session starts with sharings. Some of the sharings have been omitted from this audio. Mansoor shares an experience he's had with his young daughter recently.
One of your youngest students has taught me two things that I will never forget. I asked her, where do you see the light? And she signed to me, I see the light everywhere. And then I asked her, does the light talk to you? And she said, three simple words. Teaches in silence. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for saving her.
You're very welcome, and your sharing really touched my heart, and that child is so special, and thank you for sharing. That's all I can say at this time.
We never told her these things. These are her experiences.
Yeah. Beautiful. That is why we realize that the bad is not bad and good is not good. I mean, what could be in the appearance, a picture that has problem, could be magnificently good. And what appears to be really good in the picture could be a disaster. So thank you for sharing. I'm always ready to hear what she has to say.
During that song, I realized that when I'm having that song with all of you, it's so easy to connect with the watcher inside of me. I just know it's there. It's easier than when I'm alone right now. And I was just thinking about how amazing that is, even though we're just talking over the phone or over Zoom, the thought song is so meaningful. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I agree with you. We are blessed with the amazing sad songs, all of us, and that's just so rare and so appreciated from all of us. And it's really beautiful when people that have the same open heart come together, and the beauty just oozes out of it, and inspiration. Well, Farnazjan, go ahead with your questions.
The first question is about the boss. It's from that part that says, the boss becomes inferior to I am, which is still a thought, but it is the mother of the thoughts. So when the mother of the thoughts I am, or ego decides to go to the direction of silence, the boss and thoughts also follow the I am to the silence. So the boss becomes the follower. And the questioner asks, I would like to have more understanding on this part. Thank you.
Yeah. I am happens around the age of 2 to 3, when the child can recognize the name, recognize that it's walking, that it has a toy in the hand. So that is why it's the first thought. And then upon this entity that we call ourselves with different names, ideas come and stick to it, like I am a girl, this and that. Now, every time that we do meditation together or alone, when we take the energy downward to our heart and we experience expansion and silence, at that time, the I am has merged into the source of itself, which is God. And the mind has subsided. And you cannot say, I have a mind or I don't have a mind. That's what is called that the boss becomes the servant. And the more we do this, the more we dip into our own nature of holiness, the more what once was the boss with tons of idea that I am believed it, it reverses itself. The boss begins, the mind begins to remind you to seek silence. It reminds you to do one of the practices. It reminds you to do a stop. It's just a thought. It's just a thought that comes. But the thought that comes has the grace of that dipping. It doesn't have the world behind it. It has God behind it. When your thoughts has the support of the world, meaning that jumping from one thought to the other, to the other, to the other, the self is hidden. Not that it's not there, it's just hidden. And once you begin to go home often enough, what happens is the boss also learns to subside and, like the realized soul would say, its seat at the feet of the inner guru, and doesn't rise with such a strength all the time. So that's what it means.
Sachin, it sits at the feet of the inner guru. Is that what you...
Yes, yes. It's just symbolic to say that it descends and keep quiet.
The next question is still about the same article, and it's about this part, which says, the reason it is hard for you and there is resistance is because you are really getting rid of yourself, the self that caused you problems, and there is resistance to that. Once this resistance, this wall is broken and falls down, the boss vanishes and the freedom is there. The question is about this resistance and the definition of getting rid of yourself and if there is any remedy for this resistance.
Getting rid of yourself means getting rid of ignorance. And resistance comes with... I'm sure you all have experience where you know that the silence is a remedy to your anxiety, but somehow there is a resistance there to take that to heart and just sit and be quiet. There is a resistance to change the ways that the thinker and the thoughts are used to. And but this subsides as our practices advance. Like I was saying with the first question, this only happens when we're getting used to an inner life rather than outer life. Sometimes it might become boring for you or getting frustrated with it and all of that. That's the sense of surviving that part of you that you're trying to go past it.
Is there any remedy for this resistance, Zach?
The remedy is that you don't do it forcefully. It's very simply stay whenever you can without putting up a force or disagreement in the mind. It's not a decision to stay. It is not a will to stay. You just simply stay. The simplest way of staying is the one that does not irritate the mind. And that needs expertise. That needs practicing with the force, then learning not, the force is not doing it, just reminding yourself, and eventually you fall in the right rhythm for it. And once that happens, things become very, very easy. I mean, the thought rises and it drops. It rises and it drops because your passive gaze have become so accomplished. Permanently there. But again, you fall and you get up, but you don't give up until you find the right rhythm of simplicity and relaxed approach.
Yeah, June, so does that rhythm happen automatically when you just continue to stay no matter what, even when you have resistance?
Exactly. Exactly. And if each one of us that have really, really was interested in what we talk about past few months, few years, and have practice, when you go back to a few months ago, a few years ago, you see a huge difference out of your effort, where things do not sit on you and grab you and choke you anymore like before. There is an okayness that you didn't feel before, or there is a joy, or there is a silence. And this is because we're associating with our true self. That's by association, as if you're, like Adrian was saying, satsang, and this is another satsang that happens in the outer satsang. It takes you to inner side satsang. And this frequent satsang with the self brings about peacefulness. There is really not any other remedy, because I've been in this search of finding the truest way for myself since I was 18. And I can vouch to the fact that I have not found anything simpler, safer, and more effective than what we are doing.
One more hallelujah moment.
Yeah, I can say that, and I always say it to those around me. because it doesn't belong to me. It was out of the grace. That's why I can compliment the grace. We are all benefiting from this immense, deep, highest truth that it was given to us.
Is it like a surrender more than a forcefulness?
Yeah, but even the word surrender can make your mind feel like it needs effort to surrender. It is just being without being this or that. It's even simpler than surrender. If you, Adrian, just now look at the desk you're sitting at or wherever you're sitting at and gaze on that for a moment and just be. Simply be. And you see everything is gone and there is only nothingness or silence. That's the most correct way of dealing with the stop meditation. Right now we can all do that to get a taste of it. Just gaze outwardly in something, but your gaze turns inward at the same time. It is a state of simplicity, just being. Just being. Without an adjective, without an object. In other words, we become the subject, we just stay. Now a thought comes, be. You don't need to use any words or any method for that. Just simply relax. And immediately the energy comes downward by itself. And the thought vanishes. And we do that enough time. It happens automatically. Did you get a taste of it, Adrian?
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah, so this is the correct way of doing stop meditation. For the lack of words, I said stop, 30 years ago. But really, as the refinement of this goes, is so much simpler than that word.
The question is about difference between conscious thought and non-conscious thought, referring to your quote saying, be conscious of your unconscious thought. It's asking, how do we distinguish between these two? What does it mean, conscious thought versus unconscious thought?
Every time we are mixed with the thoughts, we are unconscious. It would be like a dream at the nighttime, night dream. When we have a night dream, we no longer feel ourselves in the bed. We go into the story. And we are unconscious to the truth. We are very conscious to the dream, but we are not conscious to the truth. Being conscious of your unconscious thought means be aware that when you're involved with your mind, just stay. Because then you are, if you don't see it, if you consciously don't see it, your unconsciousness, then you continue dreaming. You continue having all these stories in the mind and traveling all over the world and I is endless. I don't even want to get into that, but that's what it means. It means all of a sudden see what is happening, your involvement with the mind. When you see that your involvement with the mind, you're awake, you are conscious. That moment you're conscious. You're conscious of what? That you are being unconscious because you are mixing with the thoughts. That's what it means. And it is a good practice during the day, ask yourself, am I conscious or am I unconscious? And that brings conscious. And the same thing that I always say when we do our meditation, be conscious of the silence. Because you don't want to slip into the dreamland in your silence, meaning going falling asleep or just dreaming there. Be awake, be conscious of your silence, be conscious of your expansion, be conscious of this stillness. It's a good practice to stay that way. That's it. That's another beautiful, beautiful heart-to-heart satsang. And this is our food. And we are being fed very well, very well by God, by Brahman, by Allah. Whatever name you call it, consciousness, Satchitananda. As long as you know that you are also that. Namaste to all of you.